I like to come down near the children so that they can see me better and so that I can just talk to them as I want to speak to them tonight. And not just to the children, but to the adults that are here. You know, we have some very important things to say at the end of this service tonight, and things that will do you good, because what we're going to say is found in the Word of God. And the Word of God is so important. It's God's message. It's God's message for you, for your heart, and for mine. And I just want to let the children know that as far as our workers are concerned, that we really love you in the Lord, and we love the families that you come from, and we have no greater desire through the children's work than to see children just like yourselves brought to know Christ as Savior. Nothing more important. And that you would go back as a Christian in your home and be a light, all right? A light in a place where the light needs to be shone. Bible says a little child shall lead them. And we want our children to lead other family members to the Savior. We've already said tonight that this is Easter time. And Easter time reminds us especially about the cross, all right? You've all heard about the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ died. And this is not what I'm going to preach on, but I want to read some verses from Luke chapter 23. And I just want you to listen, children. This is the Word of God. This is what Jesus did when he came to this earth. And I want you just to pay attention very, very carefully to God's precious Word. Did you see that, Paul? That's important because I want to talk to you about that tonight. Look at verse 33. The Lord Jesus Christ stood before a man called Pontius Pilate. Yeah? And Pontius Pilate had a trial. It was a very unjust time. And he handed Jesus over to die. And he commanded his soldiers to take him and to put him upon the cross and to kill him. And this is what we read now in verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, that's those that had committed crimes, the two thieves that we read about in the Bible, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him, in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And we'll end the reading there. We'll have a wee word of prayer, children. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts tonight as we think about his word. Father, we thank thee for the cross of the Lord Jesus, this place that is called Calvary, where the Son of God died, shed his blood, poured out his life as a sacrifice for our sin. And Lord, we pray that the truths of the gospel, as we think about them tonight, will be very real in our hearts. Help our children here to sit up and pay attention and to listen to God's precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sammy and his friend were walking down the road one day. And as they were walking down the road, they saw something shining. Indeed, it was a penny. And Sammy's friend said, "Sammy, it's just a penny. Let's walk on." But Sammy says, "No, it might be just a penny, but there's a very interesting story that I want to tell you about this penny." So Sammy bent down and he picked it up. And children, here's the message that Sammy gave to his friend, and it's the message that I want to give to you tonight, because as you look at a penny, and we want you to remember this, there are certain things on the other side, not the head side, the tail side as we call it, that are of great importance. Just six little things that I want to talk to you about tonight. And the first thing that you will notice right in the center of the penny are gates. Do you see the gates? I took that photograph yesterday because I thought we better make it big, because a penny is so small. And you can't see it away back there. Sure you can, Chris. No, not even with Chris's 20/20 vision could you see it from that distance. So you're able to see it here. And there's gates. And children, the Bible speaks about gates. Speaks about two gates. One gate that leads us into heaven, and the other gate that leads us into a lost eternity. And the one who spoke about these gates was the Lord himself. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." You see, children, there are only two places in eternity. Eternity, you've heard of the word? Eternity is forever. And when we leave this life, we enter into eternity, where there's no time. We live forever and ever and ever. And there's only two places. And Jesus speaks about these two places. And one day, you and I will enter through one of these gates that the Savior speaks about. Either the narrow gate or the broad gate or the wide gate, and we will be in eternity. Our life on earth is very brief, very short. Some of you children, and you look so well tonight, you've got all life in front of you, potentially. And it is our prayer that you'll grow up through your school years and you'll get employment and you'll have a happy life. That's our prayer, that you'll live long. We trust that God will give you long life. But even if you had long life, could you tell me what you think an old person's age is? What do you think an old person is? What age do you think an old person really is? 200. 200. Oh, I tell you, come a day when people might live. Anybody else, what do you think a really old person is? Rebecca? 101. 101. I'm glad nobody's saying anything less than that. 90? 92. You're very kind, children. I was worried because, you know, whenever I was your age, I thought somebody that was 30 was really, really old. But, you know, even if you could live to 90, 91, 101, all these things that you've mentioned, that time is very, very short when you compare that to what we're talking about tonight, eternity, that is forever. The Bible tells us that our life on earth, and this is the journey that we're on, the journey that leads us towards those gates that one day we will enter through, one or other gate. The Bible tells us that our life here on the earth is like a weaver's shuttle. All right, who knows their history? And the famous industry that used to be here in Northern Ireland that maybe is not so prominent today, when our forefathers were involved in the weaving industry. Do you know what it is to weave? People make garments, okay, your clothes, maybe woolen things, or they make carpets. It's all done very professionally today with special electric motors and equipment, all right. But back then, they used to throw through the weaver's loom the shuttle so quickly. Just went by your eyes, just as quickly as you could throw it. And then they did it. And God says, as he tries to explain to us what our life is like, even if it is 90 or 100, he says our life is just like a weaver's shuttle. It just goes by our eyes so, so quickly, very, very quickly. The same man, his name is Job, he described life on earth like an eagle that hastens to the prey. All right, who's ever seen an eagle? You seen an eagle? Probably not in this country. I think you need to go to Scotland or somewhere like that, or even further afield to see an eagle. But an eagle that's coming for its prey, it's way up in the sky, it's got better eyesight than Chris, it's able to look down, oh, from a long way up, maybe half a mile up, and the eagle is able to see maybe a little animal, and that little animal is going to be its next meal. And it hastens to the prey. It swoops down very, very quickly. I'm told something like 200 miles an hour. All right, nobody's ever been in a car that has done 200 miles an hour. I don't think so. You might have been in an airplane, but that's how fast an eagle goes. And God, again, in his word through Job, he's saying, your life is just like that. It's just like the eagle that swoops down very quickly to pick up that little mouse or maybe a little rabbit or something. It goes by so, so quickly. Another writer in the Bible, he says life is just like a span. Do you know what a span is? Can you hold your hand up like that? You see the tip of your thumb to the end of your little finger? It's a span. Okay. That's a measurement. And mine might be a little bit bigger than what yours is. What do you think? My hand a little bit bigger than yours? Okay. But a span. God is just teaching again in his word. Life is just like a span. It goes by quickly. It's not really a big measurement. In the New Testament, there's another man, and he describes life like a vapor that appears for a little time and then just vanishes away. You've seen the kettle boiling at home. You see the steam coming out of the kettle. That's a vapor. And you see how it just goes up, and then it just seems to disappear into the atmosphere of the kitchen. And James in the New Testament, he says, life is just like that. It's just like a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it just vanishes away. And children, you're going to prove that as you live in this world, and your mom and dad and your grandparents will be able to tell you even this more so, that their life has gone by so, so quickly. And one day we're going to come to the end of the journey. And we're going to enter in through one of these gates that the Bible speaks about. Jesus tells us here about a gate that is wide and a gate that is straight, or a gate that is narrow. And this little journey is going to end. And our destiny will be decided. I wonder where you'll be. You know, there's many people who are going to go through the narrow gate, and they're going to go to glory, to everlasting bliss, because they know the Lord as their Savior. But look at the penny again. There's something else that I want you to notice here on the penny. On either side of the gates, can you see what is there? What is it? There is, but on either side of the gate, there's something there.
Chains.
All right. Do you see the chains? Remember, Sammy's telling a story to his friend, and he wants to tell his friend about the gospel, and he says there's gates, and the Bible speaks about that, but there's also chains. What would you use chains for? What do you think they use chains for in Bible times? Put people into jail. You would get put into jail today for putting people into jail with chains. But we don't do that in this country. Some countries do. But back in Bible times, this is what they did. If they wanted to restrain someone and keep them confined, In fact, we read in the Bible about a man who, the Bible says, had been often bound with fetters and chains. And they did that because they wanted to confine him. And in the Bible, we read about people like Paul and Peter, and they were put into prison. And it wasn't the kind of prisons that we have today. These were old, dirty prisons where they were put in chains so they couldn't move. Now, we do read about this man in the Bible who was able to break his chains. He had incredible strength. But children, we have chains as well. If we want to learn the gospel here tonight, Satan and sin has chained us. And we are enslaved to sin. It mightn't be so clear maybe as little children are here, but as you grow up in this world, you will discover that we are chained to sin. Some are chained to bad language. Some are chained to alcohol. Some are chained to drug addiction. Some are chained to worldly pleasure. But there are things in their life and they can't break free. And they can't break the chains the way that this man did. So they are chained. Only Jesus can break those chains. We have a hymn in our hymn book that we sometimes sing. And it says, Jesus, the prisoner's fetters breaks and bruises Satan's head. Power into strengthless souls it speaks and life unto the dead. The Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of God, that's the Lord Jesus, was manifested. He was brought into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the Lord is able to set us free from our sin. He's able to break the chains that bind us to the things of this life. So whatever it is that might stop you from being saved, that's holding you just like these chains, Jesus can set you free. And he can do it for anyone here tonight. Isn't that a marvelous story? But there's something else on the penny that is of great importance. You see the gates and you see the chains on either side, right at the very top. And beneath the words, there's some words there at the top, but right at the very top there's something. Can you see it? Above the crown. There's something above the crown. Sophia. It's a cross. It's a cross. Can you see how Sammy now is telling the gospel story and it's just a penny? And the Bible has a lot to say about the cross. We read about the cross tonight. Do you know there's nothing more important than the cross in Christianity? There's no truth that is more central to the gospel than the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ died. And it's the greatest story that has ever been told. It's the greatest history that has ever been written. And the Apostle Paul, speaking of the cross, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I could just lead you children and you parents tonight to the cross in this meeting, and tell you something about the wonder of the cross and the glory of the cross and what the Lord Jesus Christ did, I would count this meeting to be of great value. If you could just see the cross and understand what the cross means, it's the only way to heaven. It's the only way. Do you know that the cross was planned by Almighty God before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world? Do you know that Jesus came to die? This was the way that God had ordained for men to be saved. And Jesus, when he came into this world, he knew that he was going to the cross because God had planned it. And the cross is the place of sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself. The cross is the place of substitution. Who knows what a substitute is? Aye. It takes the place of another person. Just like maybe if a footballer gets injured and you bring on a substitute to take that person's place. In a greater, higher sense, Jesus is our substitute. And there at the cross, he took our place. And all the suffering for sin, Jesus Christ bore that so that you and I could go free. He bore our sin, the Bible says, in his own body at the tree. Children, I trust that you'll sing about the cross tonight. Jesus shed his blood and he suffered so that our sins might be forgiven. But there's something else on this penny that I want you to see, and it's been mentioned already. Just beneath the cross, we have a... We mentioned the chain. A crown, exactly. And do you know that Jesus wore a crown? What kind of crown do you think Jesus wore when he went to the cross? Exactly. One made out of thorns. Do you know that Jesus wore a crown of thorns so that you and I might wear a crown of glory? What do you think about those long Eastern thorns? Not like the little ones that you get in roses, all right? But big, long Eastern thorns, about that length. And the soldiers that put Jesus on the cross, before they did that, the Bible says that they plaited this crown of thorns. They made these thorns into a crown, and they pushed it into his head. Pushed it into his head. But the Bible tells us about another crown. Whenever the great apostle Paul, who was a missionary and preacher, came almost to the end of his life, this is what he had to say. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Jesus Christ will give to his people who are saved a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness one day. This is really something to look forward to. It's speaking about the reward that there will be in that place that is called heaven. What's beneath the gates? What's beneath the gates? One. Do you see the one? You see it actually written in letters at the top, one. And you see it there, one. And this reminds us, children, and this was Sammy explaining to his friend who needed God's salvation. He was explaining there's only one way to heaven. There's not two ways, not three ways. There's not 10 ways, not many ways, only one way. And when you look at the penny, I want you to remember that when you see the one, there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus Christ is that way. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, I am the way. He's the one way. We see this text tonight where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way to heaven. I was recently in Canada, and there was a young woman attending the meeting there in Toronto. And I had the opportunity to talk to her at the door going out for about 15 minutes. And this young woman, it was lovely to see her coming into church. And she had been attending, but she came from an entirely different religion. And I had the wonderful opportunity afterward just to tell her there's only one way to heaven. It's not this way or that way or the way perhaps that you're thinking. I had to tell her Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And children, if we're going to go to heaven, it'll only be through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way but through him. Then I want you to think about the shape of the penny. What shape is it? Is it a square? Is it a triangle? Is it a hexagon? What shape is it? It's a circle. And Sammy, just to wind up what he was saying to his friend, he says the shape of the penny is a circle, and that reminds us of the world. All right? Doesn't it look like the world, big and round? Yeah, sure, it does. It's a very precious verse in the Bible that speaks about the world. It's probably the best known verse that we have in the whole Bible. Translated into every language where the gospel is gone, and is John chapter 3, verse 16. And many of our children can quote that verse tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved what? The world. Exactly. Children, I want you to remember that. He loved the people of the world, all different kinds of people. And my responsibility and those who know Christ is to bring the gospel to the world. We've got a little bit of the world here. It's called Ballymoney. And then missionaries have gone out to different other parts of the world to tell the world that Jesus saves. And that's what the Lord told us to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And preach the gospel to everyone, to every creature, says the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ has died for men and women and boys and girls in this world. Some of them come from different parts, places like Africa, India, Australia, all different parts of the world. Some of them are rich. I don't know if there's any rich people here tonight. Maybe you are. Some of them are very poor. When I was recently in Uganda, there was a wee girl there that needed to come to the school. And she needed requirements. Do you know what requirements that she needed to come to the school so that she could stay there and get an education? She needed a bar of soap. She needed a basin so that she could wash herself. And she needed a mattress. And the mattresses out there don't cost very much. And this wee girl was so poor that her family could not afford her requirements. She was poor. But you know what, children? Jesus has died for poor people as well as rich people. And he has died for old people as well as young people. You might be young in this meeting tonight. Some of you might only be 5 or 6 or 7. And there's others here tonight that might be 91. Might even be somebody here tonight older than that. But Jesus Christ has died for the people of the world, young and old. He has died for religious people. Children, religion can never get a person to heaven. But Jesus has died for religious people so that they can be saved. And he has died for irreligious people, people who have no time for God, so that they can be saved. Because God so loved the world. Remember the circle. Remember the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What will you do with the Savior tonight? Have you trusted him? Have you accepted him? Have you come to him? Will you one day enter in through the narrow gate into heaven? That's our prayer. That's what our children's meetings have been all about. That's what these gospel services are all about. What do you need to do? Maybe you're asking tonight, well, what do I need to do? I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that Jesus Christ has come to die for sinners. Well, how do I get saved? How do I become a Christian? The Bible says that Jesus says, come. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Christ. It's an invitation. And you come by prayer. You come asking the Lord to forgive you for your sin and asking the Lord into your heart and into your life to be your Savior. And if you come to Christ, then he will save you. He's promised to do that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Children, I trust that as you look at the penny and you see all those different things now, it'll have a new meaning. You'll remember what Sammy told his friend so that he could share the gospel with him. That's all I've wanted to do tonight for you children and for your mums and dads and family members and friends that are here. Let's bow together in prayer.